You can sit absolutely anywhere you want.
87, no amendments, just have my...
We're going to call to meeting, call to order the meeting of the Senate Committee on Education. Today is June 19th, 2015. And I want to first say it's really great to have a couple of my colleagues from the House here with us today, actually more than the rest of my committee.
That's right.
There will be some joining us lately, shortly, and there's a couple who have been assigned to other committees now since other work groups. We have two transportation work group members. We've got a bunch of other people who now are doing some other work. So, but we wanted to get on the record conversations that we've been having around what to do with the education, the whole education continuum. And, you know, we passed the bill on the floor the other day, the Senate. It'll be coming over to the House with respect to the reconstruction of the OEIB. And what we're trying to look at now is to, when our meeting was happening, we would put things to the side and say, we'll come back to this. And so right now I want to get on the record a lot of those issues, as well as make an announcement that we will during this time, since it's on my calendar, we will probably start having the work group get together to start developing a calendar, put things together. So consider that from about 1 to 2:30 or 1 to 2:30 each for the rest of the session, we'll pull ourselves together to start putting the calendar together, making sure that we have a work plan for the interim. So anybody who wants to be there, we encourage people. We encourage people to come that were not in the group before. And I know that Senator Beyer talked to me today saying he'd like to be engaged again, and he has done a lot of the stuff too as well. So I wanted to make sure that that was on the record as well. So with that, we're going to open an informational meeting, and we have invited testimony only, and we have some people who have to come and go, so we're going to change the order a little bit. Who was it first? Okay. So we'll have Alberto Marino come on up, and then we can have Iris Maria Chavez come on up if you want, because I know you have to leave at a certain time, and Chuck Bennett, who also has to leave at particular time. So if we get those three to start with. And again, what we're asking for is just suggestions, ideas, your feeling about how the process went and where we need to go next, so we get it on the record. Okay, Iris, I guess it's you.
Senator Roblin, members of the committee, and others. For the record, my name is Iris Maria Chavez, Stand for Children, Oregon Government Affairs Director. First wanted to thank Senator Roblin for convening the work group and your commitment to ensuring that this process went forward smoothly as possible. Also wanted to thank other members of the Oregon House and Senate that participated in the committee. I think that what we would like to highlight are the three things that the group identified early on as being the key accomplishments or perspectives of the Oregon Education Investment Board initially. One is the equity lens that was developed and applied to a lot of the policy and practice work happening across the P20 spectrum. The other was the ability for external stakeholders to engage in the kind of education policy and practice setting space in a way that had not yet happened or recently in Oregon. And we also wanted to discuss the highlight of the convenings, the work that OEIB was doing to bring these different stakeholders together, not just for a share and show and tell, but also for meaningful kinds of collaboration in order to address problems and identify solutions. Moving forward, we think that as the work group looks to determine the long-term impact, that we would want to ensure that those three pieces remain in place and are a commitment. We recognize that while it would be ideal for all of the education agencies in the state to have an embedded equity focus, that is not the case always. And to have an agency that will be looking at that very intentionally is of utmost importance to the organization and the members that we represent. And we would also like to call out the executive order that the governor will be putting together for the Transitional Advisory Council Board, whatever it is that will end up being called. And our desire to ensure that people who represent students and practitioners and students themselves have a role in that kind of space. We want to ensure that the idea of engaging external stakeholders remains a commitment of the Chief Education Officer's office, or whatever that is to be called, through the executive order and the work of the work group moving forward.
Thank you very much. And to each and every one of you who are part of the work group, I want to really extend my thanks to the commitment every group made, by phone or by person, getting other people there if you couldn't. It was pretty amazing that during that whole opportunity, almost every organization was represented at almost every meeting. I was very impressed with that. That was a real commitment that people made.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Chuck Bennett. I represent the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators. Certainly want to second what I'm sure will be a string of compliments regarding the work the work group did and really the outcome of the work itself. Senate Bill 215, I think, is a really good testimony to how you can put together 30 people and come up with really a great idea. So we were really pleased with the outcome. Mr. Chairman, COSA was very closely involved in the development of the OEIB concept. It grew out of work that was done by one of our superintendent subcommittees. We call it our Vision and Policy Committee. It developed the concept of the need for an overarching coordinating arm of some kind to deal with the P20 continuum. And while the OEIB itself, we believe, did not ultimately fulfill that destiny, we do think that what's come out in 215 has more carefully assigned that process to the Chief Education Officer as a convener, ultimately, as I think she so appropriately has dubbed herself, barrier busting, which is often what we are dealing with. We think there are a number of areas where this is going to be tremendously helpful. We particularly look at the 11-14 that portion of the continuum, and how that'll be dealt with over the next year or so in advance of legislative sessions. There certainly are enough ideas out there that having someone sit down with all of those with such great ideas to find a kind of common ground that makes that area work. The other area, Ms. Chair, that I think was pointed out to us by the experience that we've had over the past couple of years, and the way this was rolled out ultimately pointed to a problem of governance. And I can't go to the specific, I could, but it'd be just my opinion of what the problem looks like. I'm not sure that's of major value. I'll look forward more to sitting down with my members and hearing their thinking, but there clearly is a governance problem, we think, in the entire P20 system. We certainly see it, we believe, in the K-12 system. The description of our system running from a superintendent of public instruction who is also the governor to a deputy superintendent who actually manages the Department of Education, a state board, and then down into the ESD and district level points, we think, to a need to take a whole, maybe a different look at how that governance model works. It has, at least the way it was employed during the previous administration, really became a very top-down system, and arrived on the desk of the legislature or in the central office of school districts, we felt without adequate, I think, understanding of what challenges look like at the district, with certainly interesting ideas, lots of interesting ideas, but without a really cohesive description of how we're going to achieve 40-40-20, whether 40-40-20 represents anything resembling reality in terms of what school At least K-12 funding looks like in this state, as short as we are of the quality education model, which is quite simply a way of trying to get Oregon to the average nationally, certainly not into the top tier of states with education programs. So that we think there's a lot of work for the work group to do during the interim. We hope it will take on a variety of these subjects. And I do want to second Iris's comments about the equity lens and how important I think that really is, that we have had that develop and then result, I think, in an ELL bill that is really an outstanding piece of legislation and hopefully will provide us with a tremendous amount of information statewide on dealing with what is a growing and really important population that in some districts is really taken care of, in other districts not quite as much, and I think we'll begin to get a handle on that to where all students have equal opportunity in this state.
Thank you very much.
Chair Roblin, Vice Chair Knope, esteemed committee members, my name is Alberto Moreno, and I am the chair for the Commission on Hispanic Affairs for the State of Oregon. The Oregon Commissions on Asian and Pacific Islander Affairs, the Commission on Black Affairs, the Commission for Women, and my own commission have greatly appreciated being invited to be part of the discussions as Senate Bill 2015 work group members. We are also pleased to talk with you today about the future of the work group as the OEIB becomes closer in collaboration with other education coordinating boards and education funding. Our very own OCHA Commissioner Diego Hernandez has diligently represented all four of the advocacy commissions on the work group and has kept each of the commissions informed and engaged in the important work of the work group, as you know. As you consider the future of the Senate Bill 2015 work group, the chairs of the Oregon Advocacy Commissions want to share with you our founding belief that equity in education means the difference between the overall success or failure of our students. Accordingly, it is vital that we maintain this focus in policy and funding discussions at every level in Oregon, including the next assignments of the Senate Bill 2015 work group. We believe that equity in education is determined by how Oregon invests in the learning of all of its students, who is engaged in key decisions, what we measure, what data we collect, and ultimately how we hold ourselves accountable as a state to all of these students. We encourage this important work group to further build equity into all of its future considerations, assure the importance of equity in the work of the Chief Education Officer and craft it into goals and statements of purpose, into funding considerations, and tie the very structure of education in Oregon to the outcomes of our communities need. We also underscore the importance of our priority of having communities of color, women, and Native Americans represented in key positions within education and within its work groups and associated advisory groups. We understand fully that alignment and focus on equity is essential to Senate Bill 2015 and its potential legacy in Oregon. If equity is not at the core of all we do in education and in this work group, and if improvement in outcomes for struggling students is not the measure of our success, we have small hope of closing the achievement gap and increasing graduation rates for all of our students. We support in closing your work and offer our help in any way that we can. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And any questions for any of the group? I want to thank you or all of the groups because there was a consistent person always there. And that was appreciated for us. And it was used oftentimes by phone, but that I was amazed. For me, attending meetings by phone is very difficult. There are some people who do it better. I'm sure a lot that do it better than me. But it was always there, and we always knew, and that is very helpful in any of these conversations. And I guess I would say the same thing when we set up these meetings. Inviting those people is really important. And making access available, because it's not always easy to get around from place to place. So we need to keep that in mind as we move forward. So thank you for being that voice today.
Indeed. Thank you all.
So now, Andrea Henderson, Karen Gray, and Rex Hagen. Any order you wish.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Andrea Henderson, Executive Director of the Oregon Community College Association. Thank you very much for the process that we underwent this session to take a look at restructuring the OEIB. Just to echo what many others have said today, we really thought it was a great process and really was nice to work so collaboratively with all of education in terms of what we needed from the state, and so we really appreciate that. As we talk about the future and how we continue this work to look at OEIB, I wanted to share a little bit about the experiences that we had in community colleges and our conversations around governance, because I think it's very applicable to this situation. About 12 years ago, we had a very large conversation amongst all the colleges about governance and what we wanted from the state. And we brought in some national experts to talk about governance. And started the conversation by talking about, well, what's the role of the state? What's the role of the colleges? Who owns what piece of what conversation? And after many meetings, many conversations, we really came to the realization is that it's that space between the state and the local level that matters, and how you fill that space in a way that leads to collaboration and joint work. And from that, we really changed the relationship that we had with the State Board of Education and with CCWD. And it really became a shared vision of where we were going in education. It was shared work. And we all understood that local institutions had their roles, local boards had their roles, OCCA had our role, State Board had their role, the staff at CCWD, and we all worked collaboratively together to push forward a joint agenda. And it was that way to create it where there wasn't an us or a them. It was a we looking at what our students need. And it really changed the way we did our work, not just between the state and the institutions, but between the institutions themselves. I had a board chair that year, and she said her goal for that year was to get rid of the word them and talk about we. Mm-hmm. And once we focused on that we are all interested in the students, whether we're at the state or the local level, it really made a difference in how we move forward on positive policy agendas. From that conversation, we began several years of work to really look at student success and how we can all serve our students. It was convened by CCWD. It had practitioners from all levels of the colleges, from faculty to chief financial officers, chief academic officers, presidents and board members, and state board members to talk about what is it that our students need. And from there, we put together some very elaborate plans around student success that we were able to implement even with limited state resources. So I bring this example in to really talk about, from the community college perspective, our hope for OEIB is that OEIB can be that place where that type of work continues, that it's a place of convening and facilitation that brings together both the state and the local institutions across the sectors of education that really focuses on that we, what we're all doing on behalf of our students, and how do we move a joint agenda forward that shares a common vision about our students. And so as we think about how we use the state language in statute, how we talk about OEIB, how we all work together as our various parts of education, it's creating that sense of a shared vision. And really, it's about our students and our student success. So that's really our hope as we move forward in all of this, is that we can create that. So it's no longer the state's in control, or the local, local institutions are saying no, or the state's saying no, but that really, that shared sense. I think the language that's now in the bill that talks about the facilitation and collaboration role of OEIB helps us get there. We're certainly moving down that track. It'll take continued work to, as we go through this implementation of the changes, to ensure that it's still there. So I think overall that really is our hope. I think there's still some things that we'd like to see fixed in the statute and have continuing conversations. I think to echo what Chuck Bennett said, as we look at the governance structure throughout the state to continue to have conversations in terms of who's doing what, who's responsible for what, where are rules promulgated, and make that as transparent as possible so we know who's making what decisions and how that all fits. And I think we still need to do some work to make that very clear. But I think we are on the right track, and we hope that we can get to that really collaborative spot. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I will ask one. You're probably the only group that had to make a major transition from who that system worked with, because you were with the state board, and all of a sudden they threw you out, and you got caught by heck as it was trying to figure out who it was. And then CCWD was hanging out until it recently got put in. So are those conversations the kind of things happening that have made the community colleges feel a part of this new system? Is there work we have to do with regard to understanding that relationship as well?
So, Mr. Chair, from the community college perspective, it did change our world greatly to move from under the State Board of Education and CCWD over to HEC. And in anticipation of that move, my boards did is we put together a list of what it was that we need from the state level. What is it that we need, not in terms of positions, but what's the work? What does the work look like? What is the convening work that we need? What is the facilitation work that we need? And tried to be as thoughtful and policy-focused to help guide this work. Certainly when we moved over to HEC, there's been some bumps. It's not the same system that we had in the past with the State Board of Education and with CCWD. But the directions that I have from my board is that we're all trying to make it like that. And we understand it's going to take some time. We think we have a great executive director in Ben Cannon that's really listening to the colleges and really working to create that sense of shared vision. We had a work group from House Bill 4018 from the last February session that looked at that merger of CCWD into HEC. And from that group, one of the main points that we came out with is a process by which HEC and my OCCA board are working together to identify what that shared vision is. And hopefully this fall we will have a joint document that will go back to both boards. So we're trying to recreate what worked. And understanding that it takes time to get there, but there's a lot of patience and commitment to make it work.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Whoever's next, then. That was the one question. Yes, Karen.
All right, I'll be next.
So thank you, Senator Roblin, and members of the committee. My name is Karen Gray, and I'm the superintendent of schools for the Park Rose School District. I was fortunate to be selected to be a member of Senator Roblin's Senate Bill 215 committee in order to help determine the future of the Oregon Education Investment Board. It was an effective and efficient committee that was diverse in representation and highly collaborative. As usual, Senator Roblin was able to get the best out of everyone on the committee. And for the most part, we were in sync on many of the major issues. It was really quite amazing to me that so many people representing so many diverse interests were able to agree so quickly on so many topics regarding OEIB. To me, the most important action of what I hope will be named something like the Oregon P20 Coordinating Council approach is that we barrier bust. We suffer with crucial barriers to providing the best education possible for our Oregon children, and they continue to pay the price. The first barriers are key transitions between grades, which are between preschool, if you're lucky enough to get to one, and kindergarten, grade school to middle school to high school, and then from high school to college and careers. Why do these transition barriers persist? They exist and persist because we don't ever get into the same room at the same time to have an honest conversation about how to knock down the walls. We're stuck in our own institutional traditions and the way we've always done it. No wonder we keep getting the same poor results. Kids' graduation and dropout rates can be predicted and tallied by race, social class, sexual orientation, and socioeconomic status. The work group will be creating crucial conversations and connections and developing solid education models during the interim between legislative sessions. We must have a shared vision of a seamless system of education from cradle to career in Oregon, or die trying. Maybe this time we can actually make it happen. The second barrier we must bust is the barrier of racism. The fact is that students of color are growing in number in Oregon every year. And the corresponding fact is that these students fail, drop out, become incarcerated, and part of the school-to-prison pipeline at alarming rates. Several actions will help to staunch this flow. The Oregon Educator Equity Advisory Committee is working hard on creating ways for more teachers and administrators of color to come and stay in Oregon. The All Hands Raised Collaborative in Multnomah County, part of the regional work we are doing in Oregon, is changing the conversation by bringing culturally specific community-based organizations, businesses, school districts, and higher ed together to have conversations about race and poverty. I hope this work will serve as a model for the state in moving our awareness and consciousness of race forward. I appreciate the work that was done on the committee, the diligence of the committee to have hard conversations, and the leadership of Senator Roblin to move Oregon education toward a brighter future through P20 collaboratives, meaningful connections, and a powerful shared vision for the future of Oregon kids. Maybe this time we will succeed. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you, Karen. Any questions? Okay. Rex.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Rex Hagans. I live in the Canby School District, and I'm a founding member of Oregon Save Our Schools, which is a group of volunteers, concerned parents, grandparents, teachers, students, community members. We were founded in 2011. We have absolutely no financial backers. We have no finances. We have maintained a steady focus on what we feel was an atrocity. So I'm going to be a little bit of the skunk at the garden party here. So pardon me. But let me begin by thanking Senator Roblin for creating and guiding this group. His inclusionary approach stands in stark contrast to what was a very sorry history of the so-called reform created by our ex-governor and literally jammed down the throats of not only those who teach and lead our school, but also, I think, the legislature. I personally attended most of the meetings of the OAIB and its predecessor group, the Oregon Investment Team. This process was shameful. Structures were created without plans. Disagreement and dissent was suppressed in a manner I would never have believed would be possible in Oregon. There was celebration of the virtues of things such as disruptive innovation. Public input was a joke, and what was sought in a series of public forums was then ignored because it rejected the ideas being pushed by the OAIB. The result of this folly is a system with its governance and decision-making process now muddled and pretty ineffective, and we're still underfunded. I applaud the changes made in this bill by the work group and the process that's been used. I think, as everybody has said, Senator Roblin has done a masterful job of shepherding us along and everybody getting their oar in, and I think we've worked together very well. But I also believe these are only a good start and not nearly sufficient to the real need. Under the leadership of our ethically challenged ex-governor, Oregon has been a willing and eager participant in a massive national movement toward top-down and privatized control of public education that needs to stop here and to stop now. Parents, teachers, and local school boards actually do know their own children and what is best for them. So I believe the overall thrust of the work yet to be done is to further reduce the amount of centralized control within the bureaucracy and return it more to parents and teachers at the local level and to their representatives here in the legislature. Beyond that, here are my more specific priorities. First of all, as has been said here eloquently, equity. Without equity, we are doomed. I won't elaborate further on that, but I just think we all need to recognize that. We need to keep pushing that. Secondly, establishing clear and visible leadership for the educational enterprise, other than simply the governor. Oregon should return to an elected state superintendent of public instruction. We have just witnessed the pitfalls of concentrating so much power in the hands of one person. The strong tendency toward cronyism and the failure to properly vet ideas with teachers and parents has never been more obvious. Oregon should run, not walk, away from that model. Secondly, closely examining the need for and functioning of each component of the current OEIB structure. The management and use of the longitudinal database actually tops my list here. I believe the worship of data has been the root cause of atrocious overtesting and the means by which Pearson, now becoming known as the Monsanto of education, and the parent of the famous SBAC test, has begun to control the lives of our students and teachers. Plunging ahead with the obviously premature full administration of the SBAC has been advocated and led by OEIB staff, and efforts to protect the privacy of student information have been resisted by leaders within the Department of Education. We need leadership that will fight to maintain privacy and also reduce the amount of testing. The SBAC must go and be replaced by assessment of instruction by the teachers who are delivering it. Data must become the servant of the teachers and not a club to be held over their heads. Next, seeking ways for education to better partner with community and human service agencies to fight poverty. Poverty is easily the single biggest impediment to the intellectual and personal growth of our students. Yet we are nearly a full year into the current reform movement before we even began to hear that statement coming from anyone's lips that was not at the podium. It was denigrated as an excuse for teachers whose performance was in doubt. This is insulting to teachers and detrimental to our children. We need to fully recognize this threat and not count on developing, quote, world-class teachers as the sole solution. I think Oregon teachers are world-class, but they need the support of the community and the funding necessary to address this challenge. We should seek much stronger partnerships with our friends in social services and recognize that state investments in programs such as TANF and ERDC have direct impact on school performance of thousands of students in our classrooms. Finally, determining whether or not a chief education office really contributes anything significant enough to justify its continued existence. I have great respect for Nancy Golden, as do, I think, everybody in this room and probably in this state. I also believe her considerable capabilities should have absolutely nothing to do with how we answer this question. At present, I believe there are at least a dozen people on the staff in her office. If this office is to shift away from managing programs to more of a planning and coordinating emphasis, that staffing level seems certainly excessive. I've also grown to be quite skeptical of designating anyone a coordinator. I believe the old joke that a coordinator who sits is one who sits between two facilitators is amusing precisely because there's a considerable grain of truth in it. The process of this office continuing to muddle the decision-making process still seems quite real to me, so the jury is still out for me on this question. Thank you again for allowing me to share my opinions and biases, and I look forward to continuing with the group.
Thank you. Any questions? I guess the one that I would have, I actually am a person who believes that local control, local decision-making can be really good. However, there are times when it goes astray, and in particular around the equity issue, I get concerned if there isn't some kind of, I don't know if I want to call it oversight or what, because I think we got, our system came to be designed the way it is with respect to our special needs population, in large part because the institution wasn't doing anything to help those kids get to their full potential. And eventually, legislator came in and says, you shall do these things at the federal and other levels. And I think there was no option other than that because we weren't, and I count myself as one of the we's because I was out there in public education, we weren't addressing those issues of the equity with those kids very well. And so when you've got to have that tension between the expectations for society and the individual goals that I think keeps people on track to understand what those are. That would be my only concern.
If I could just comment
please.
Briefly. First of all, people that know me might be surprised to hear me advocating local control. I'm notorious for being if not a progressive, certainly a Democrat, which is a notorious standing. But I would agree with everything you say, except I think we've seen the pendulum swing so far. To be at the community level trying to protest and even get your oar in to say, wait a minute, in this thing has been unbelievably frustrating to my group. And I think we really need to readjust that. And so local control, there's also, as you say, there's a reason for it, and there are reasons to mitigate it. Certainly equity is one. I wouldn't want to trust every community in this state, let alone in the world, to handle that. But I think we need to readjust the balance significantly.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you all. Oh, wait, we have a question?
Well, just a comment, I think, Mr. Chair. Again, I think everybody here to this point has appreciated your leadership in putting together the work group here that got us to this point. But I would say that that's largely due to the viewpoint that I think all viewpoints have been equal to this point as well. And there may come a time going forward, right, as we work on the final solution here where that dynamic may change to some extent. So I think that appreciate all the viewpoints and so forth that we've had, but we will ultimately arrive at a document here that everybody might find something that they perhaps don't like about it, but maybe that's not a bad place to land too, because sometimes if everybody's totally comfortable with it, tells me that perhaps we're not really accomplishing anything or moving the needle in a way that I think we really need to move the needle.
Yeah, and I understand exactly what you're saying. I would say if we can agree on the really important thing, mm-hmm. and that to me is, I think, been stated here, outcomes of our students, mm-hmm. and how they feel about their education, what they can do with the education they get, all of those kinds of things. And I'm not sure that we have a good idea of what that looks like for everybody. But if we can come to that kind of an agreement, then I think most people are willing to try whatever you're told. This is where we're going to go today, mm-hmm. as long as we attend to finding out if it's working. If it's not, we better change it. And I think part of what Rex was saying, I'm okay to go, because they didn't agree with everything we went to today. I'm okay to let the office continue, but let's watch it. And if it's not adding value, then he would be one of those people who say it should go away. I think that's true of the whole education system. I think there's a bunch of things that we have done over the years because we've done them, and that we need to look at those real closely to see, are they adding value to the system? If they're not, I think we need to have the hard question. But that means you have to really look at it closely and attend to it. There comes a point when there will be decisions made about where we go forward and how we go doing that, and not everybody will agree to with them. I think if you do the process right, everybody will understand how we got there. And at the end of the day, they will be the ones that hold us accountable if it doesn't perform like it's supposed to. And that's not a bad thing in the system. That's kind of my belief about that, too. So.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
But, yeah. So with that, we'll go back. We have Frank Capillo. We've already done to Ozzie Rose and Betty Reynolds. And whatever order we want, unless you want to keep Rosie, Rosie, that's my staffer. If you want to keep Rose, Ozzie, at the end so he can wrap up the entire history for the last 50-some years, we can keep him at the end. So, however you want to do
that. Given that introduction already once.
Yeah,
today,
exactly. That's what I was
saying.
I'm
not even on that committee. Right?
I didn't make that one, but it was another chair that made that comment earlier. So who wants to go first?
I guess I'll get started.
Okay.
Chair Roland, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony today. For the record, I am Frank Carapello, Vice President of Education Policy with the Chalkboard Project. We recognize that there is still much discussion about the role for the Chief Education Officer and the function of the Chief Education Office, and we appreciate the opportunity for a work group to take on these unresolved issues. We are hopeful that the OEIB's equity lens will guide the Chief Education Office work group and advisory council going forward. We believe the primary role of the office and advisory should be oversight of the implementation of the state's P20 education priorities, specifically whether there is an implementation or equity gap or a lack of a coordinated P20 strategy. And I would add, in areas specifically around where our state, how our state supports the educators in the field who are working incredibly hard to close achievement gaps and work with our students. Secondly, the Chief Education Office and Advisory Council should be tasked with focusing on the transition points within the P20 system. We think the council should have expertise in these leverage points and include representatives of groups that have not traditionally been at the table for policy discussions. Finally, we believe that there should be a convening role for the Chief Education Office that, when done right, brings together diverse viewpoints and again contains representatives of groups that are not traditionally part of the education policy discussion. And we'd like to thank you, Chair Roland, for your leadership on this issue and look forward to continuing to be part of this work.
Thank you very much. And again, thanks for your organization always being there too. So Absolutely. We appreciate that. I will go. Yes.
So, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and Representatives Doherty and Johnson. I'm here today. I'm Betty Reynolds, here today representing Oregon PTA as their vice president for legislation. And for context, I wanted to mention some other hats. I serve on the board of the Oregon School Boards Association and on a local school board. I'm chair of a community college budget committee. I had the pleasure of serving on two Oregon Education Investment Board advisory committees in their student data privacy work group. And I served several years ago on the Educational Coordinating Commission. First, commendations to Senator Roblin for the time and care in assuring that multiple stakeholders were represented in the work group, and to Gretchen Engbring for your excellent staff work. Oregon PTA supports the recommendations of the work group, featuring an agency and chief education officer in a convening and facilitating role in a P20 educational system. For the future of the agency, some of the items we'd like to see addressed are focus on transitions, including kindergarten readiness, and K-12 to post-secondary transitions, including AP opportunities, and portability, transferability from community college to the university system. We'd like to see clarification of organizational roles with maximum autonomy for the Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction, where it's necessary to assure that all students achieve. We'd like to see outcome measures that are meaningful and don't duplicate information that's already provided by districts to the state. And in recognition of the tremendous diversity of Oregon's 197 school districts, a maximum of local flexibility in education solutions. We'd like to see continued attention to student data privacy and development of a longitudinal database, including care in personal identifiers, assurance that the data is that's collected is for educational purposes, isn't duplicative of what's already retained, and that it's only retained for purposes, for the educational purposes and for the period required. And again, thank you to the Senate Education Committee and to the House Education Committee for your leadership on Senate Bill 187A. I believe that part of the impetus for creation of the OEIB and 40-40-20 goals was compliance with the No Child Left Behind Act. And with good potential now for ESEA reauthorization, I'm very hopeful that Oregon will be at the forefront of efforts to resolve curriculum and assessment issues. And OEIB and Oregon Education Association have done a terrific job. Dr. Golden has done a terrific job on developing assessment alternatives, and I hope they can stay in front of that. This work group has demonstrated the absolute commitment of the education community, agencies, associations, and decision makers like you in helping all students achieve. Oregon has some disturbing statistics to turn around, like graduation rates and class sizes, and so from a larger perspective, I hope that for continued collaboration in support of public education in Oregon and adequate and stable funding so that Oregon students can fulfill their promise. Thank you again for your leadership and your support of public education.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and member of the committee. I'm Ozzie Rose, and I represent the Education Service Districts and the Washington County School Districts. I did participate in the work group. I didn't believe you could ever have a work group meet from 4 to 6 on Tuesday afternoons accomplish anything, but we did, I think. I'm pretty proud of what we produced. There are issues yet to be addressed. The bill is a great start. We have left to do. We have to clarify and operationalize words like convene, coordinate, and collaborate. We have to support the core of what we ask the office to do, and that's coordinate with stakeholders to eliminate system barriers. This is all in the language. Provide educational equity for opportunity and success for kids. Meet educational goals set by the state. Be culturally responsible and responsive, and identify strengths among collaborative partners. Fund an integrated statewide data system. And my caution there is we talk about this being done at the office. There are data systems throughout the system, and we need to pay attention and see how do we maximize the amount of money we spend on data analyzing and so forth. But the chief education officer is in a great place to help drive that particular issue, I believe. And we need to work with the Quality Education Commission to identify best practices that lead to best use of resources. I am particularly interested in pointing out on page 4 of the bill, lines 15, 16, 17, and 18. I think we made a major contribution to the future where we assigned to the chief education officer that the person has some authority at key points in our program. If you read the language, it says the chief education officer shall have direction and control over the positions that we've been talking about for matters related to design and organization of multi-agency planning. Other than that, the person in that seat coordinates with the following same group of people with other matters. And I think one of the things we're struggling with is that whether you refer to the former governor in the way he was referred to by Rex or not, out of those discussions, we said we have a pre-K through 20 system. And we do have a pre-K through 20 system in the sense that our children or grandchildren have to go through that system if they want a piece of paper called a degree or a certificate or whatever. We don't have a system in the sense of all the entities are in step. We have early childhood, we have K-12, we have community college of higher ed. All of them have a different governance structure. All of them get their resources in different ways. All four have different missions. All four have different programs and services. And when we talk about doing things, all four look through their lens of whatever we're trying to do. And we need help at the transition points that were mentioned earlier. Early childhood into schools, schools into community colleges, and community colleges into higher ed. And I'm hopeful that the person in this role with the word of some authority and direction will help make those transition work for all our kids. We're currently, you know, discussing, arguing, whatever words you want to use about the transition of, and relationship of credit and et cetera. That needs to be resolved in a way that kids are best served, not in the way that any of our entities are best served. We need to review and reconsider how the boards, commission, and councils are formed. Are they what we want? Somebody said earlier we need to elect the state superintendent. I don't know if that's true or not, but it is a thought on how we put things together. With that, I'll shut up.
Any questions?
At the risk of being told one more time that I talked too much.
Okay. Thank you very much. No, go. You guys can head on. Is there anyone else? I know Beth Ann. Come on up. That's the one other person. Is there anybody else that would like to speak to where we go from here, any kinds of issues with respect to our 215 work group? Okay. I guess you get to be the last word.
Well, thanks for Beth Ann Darby from the Oregon Education Association. Thank you for allowing me to speak today, even though I neglected to sign up in advance. I represent 42,000 educators from across the state, K-12 teachers, community college faculty, education support professionals in just about every school district. And I would say that to Representative Johnson's comment about kind of where we are today and the tenor of this conversation, I would say that it's been brought about by a unique opportunity to come together and really evaluate how the system works. And while OEA did not appreciate some of the structure before around the OEIB, I think the silver lining would be that it is providing us a real opportunity to take a close look at how our system works and whether it works on the best interests of all of our students, and that we as a state may not have taken that opportunity up but for this experiment. We're hopeful for the future. Our hopes for the new chief education office are to continue the work of really including stakeholders in, as we try and break new ground and bust down some of those barriers that Dr. Golden brings up. We feel that it's really important to have frontline workers be a part of the conversation, helping to be the professional voice at the table to identify what works and what doesn't work. How do we create a seamless system? It can't be done in a vacuum. And under the OEIB model, educators were really an untapped resource in terms of how we move forward and really get at what's best for students. So we look forward to more collaboration, more opportunities to participate. And with that, thank you very much for your leadership.
Thank you. Any questions? Thanks. I guess what I want to end with is, as we go forward, it may be a time also that people out there have information about other groups, research that's been done, experts in different fields and at different places. I know we've worked with a group at in Denver on education group. If there are some of those organizations that people feel would be helpful to contact about the kinds of things we're talking about here, to bring their expertise, put on a work group or workshop for a group of us while we're working on this, I would love to hear from people about who we think would be helpful that way. I think I have always felt that when you have a room as big as the one we set up, probably all of the necessary information is withheld somewhere in that group. Getting it out is not always easy, but it's probably there, and the expertise is probably there. There's people who have done a lot of studying in this stuff. But there are times when having that outside group come in and look and raise some other issues that they've talked about and had some stress about that can be very helpful. Having done stuff in my career with Northwest Lab, they bring some expertise in some areas that we don't see every place in our districts, and unless you ask them, they aren't going to go out and do it. But they, when asked, they're really pretty helpful. So there are those organizations out there. So as people in the room who have been involved in the group believe that maybe we need to have a little more information, there's someone there, please get that stuff to Gretchen and I so that we can kind of schedule or organize that as we have done. And again, we're hoping to get over the next couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks as the session goes on, our regular meetings so that we can come up with a work plan and a calendar so that through the interim we can get things that we need to get done and move forward. And so right now, that's Gretchen. Working with me, we're hopeful that we can continue to work with Gretchen for a while. During the interim, things change, and we'll have to figure out how that goes about and where we're at on that. I also want to say that from the perspective of our committee, this is the last scheduled meeting that we've had. We have right now. We can move at the authorization of the chair if we do believe we need to have another meeting or whatever. But for the most part, the committee is closed now with the opportunity to bring it back if we need it during the session. Anything else? Nope, I think that's pretty much it for today. But I do want to, again, comment and thank everyone. I appreciated our representative from the PTA who mentioned Gretchen, because I think she has been an exceptional member of this group and mm-hmm. has helped keep me on track. So, Gretchen. So, with that, I don't think there's any other thing. We will adjourn our meeting. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Hey, Ernie, can you stick around for a second?
I will. Thank you.
To the floor, because I agree.
Thank you very much for all your stellar work.